The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hello, everybody. It is time for Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you. As per usual, it's Monday morning. Feels like Ice Station Zebra here in my studio, but we're going to press on. If the icicles form on my nose, you'll know it's because I'm being stubborn and have not kicked the heat on down here in this subterranean environment, which is very good for equipment, by the way, but not so good for the equipment operator and the show host. A little chilly here. Made an adjustment. Hopefully we can get through the process without my my mouth freezing up and impairing my speech. But I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving weekend. It's an important holiday, I think, for everybody to kind of regroup and get over a lot of the anxiety and confrontation and a lot of things that are happening right now in this country, and just kind of focus on the things that are really important. And we keep stressing the tri-themes, the founding principles of this country, which are pretty simple and pretty basic. And people that are against these principles, well, you know, they're not really worth talking about, because if you have a problem with God, country, and family, you know, that's a pretty disturbing trio of things to be critical of. Now, of course, everybody has the right to have their opinion on religion and government, but family really needs to be emphasized by everybody. Still the most important building block in everybody's lives. And disagreements are fine, but they need to be civil. They need to be constructive. Our goal for all of us has changed in this country over the 200 and almost 50 years that we've been in existence. Now it's so confrontational that it used to be that even if you had disagreements, everybody's ultimate goal was the same. It was to make the country as great as it could be, as good as it could be, to make the American dream accessible to everybody. That was the common goal. And somehow we've gotten into a wayward path of going a different direction, where if there's disagreement and confrontation, it's become this competitive free-for-all, where whatever is necessary to attain power and control, which ends up being the ultimate goal for everybody now participating in our representative government, because the purse strings are controlled by the people that have the power. And the purse strings in this country are considerable. It's all about the money. Follow the money. It's been the same theme for generations, for thousands of years in the world. It's always about the pursuit of wealth, power, control, and that has not changed now. But it has really put us into a bad course. There's all kinds of different elements working against us, both foreign and domestic. They want to see this country implode from within because they can't touch us from outside, and they are doing a very effective job. And any American who is not clued in to what's happening needs to pay attention to my program here, to other people trying to get you to focus on the important aspects of what's going on in this country. They're trying to take it away from you. And I say they is a strange bedfellow amalgam of all kinds of special interest groups, of foreign people that that want to take advantage of American wealth and strength and resources. It's just a real formidable lineup of people that want to upset the apple cart of what America was founded on and what we all enjoy, which is individual liberty and freedom. And so there we go, the pep talk that we usually kind of weave into these broadcasts every week, because everybody needs to be awake and alive now and stand up for their country and their rights and their, you know, an unbelievable opportunity to live in the greatest country ever conceived. I'm going to do an ABC list today, a little alphabet lesson. I hope we're still teaching that in school. You know, I think we're trying to explain why it's okay for Jimmy to have three daddies or two mamas or whatever, you know, instead of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But we're going to go by the ABCs today because I have a list, and amazingly, it's really top heavy in the A category. A lot of A words today in the headlines of things I want to talk about. And it's a little bit of a mixed bag, and we will go back and forth just a tad, because I'm doing it alphabetically because that's the creative license that I'm choosing this week to present these topics that are on my mind that I think you need to know. So let's get started. The first one on the list is a term that you're hearing from every politician's mouth, Republican, Democrat, left, right, socialist, communist, you know, pro-American, and that word is affordability. Affordability is the big issue in our country right now, because it's just ridiculous. Nobody can afford to live in America now. It's too costly. It's too expensive. And Donald Trump, who's been president this administration since January, he's almost to the end of his first year, and prices are just too damn high. The prices, you can't afford anything in this country. Well, guess what, folks? The impetus for high prices right now are something, if you listen to this show, I told you would be the case months and months ago, even before Trump was reelected for the second term, not consecutive terms, of course, as he was out of office from 2020 to 2024, when the worst administration ever elected in 250 years by Americans, Joe Biden, the pretend president, the puppet, the marionette, the dancing bear out front, who lived in the White House and flew around on Air Force One, mostly to go back to Delaware to sit on the beach for 3 and 4 and 5 days at a time. The shadow administration run by Obama, surrogates, and people that were in his government. It was all stuffed full. It was the third term of a Barack Obama administration. In that era, Joe Biden and the shadow administration allowed inflation to balloon to close to 10%, the highest we'd had in over 100 years in this country. And I warned you at that time, even if there had been adjustments, and there were adjustments, by the end of the Biden administration, it was back down to around 3.8, 4%. It had been cut in half. Trump has come in now, and inflation is right around 3%, which is sort of like where it usually sits on average. I think most economists will tell you that just a touch of inflation is normal in any economy, around 2%. So we're right back to about that level. But the reason that people have this perception that nothing's been done since Trump's been in is because prices are still high at the grocery store, in intangible things that you buy. If you go to buy, you know, I recently had a big weight loss. I had to pretty much overhaul my wardrobe because all of my big boy pants and shirts and jackets and suits don't fit anymore. They're way too big. It's pretty bad when you pull up your britches, and as you reach in the closet for your belt, they fall down to your ankles. You know, they're a little bit too big at that point to even try to wear. And you, if you do if you cut an extra notch in your belt and pull it completely tight, you still have the effect of you know, feeling like you're wearing clown pants because they're so baggy, you're dragging them around the ground. Anyway, all of those tangible items are still priced high as a rule. And the reason is simple. And it's what I told you because, again, we deal in common sense here. I told you that once you get these manufacturers, these companies, these corporations, and they're across the board, whether they're food or pharmaceuticals or building products, lumber, I mean, you can name any product off the top of your head. Once the price scale keeps rising to a certain level, and they find out that consumers are willing to pay those prices, what incentive do they have to reduce prices? They have none. Once you get to a certain pricing threshold and people pay it, they're going to keep those prices as close to that level as possible, because as they continue to move that bar up, if you're still needing those things or you're still used to those products, and I'm a prime example of it, I have a certain group of products. If I go to the grocery store that I'm loyal to, that I'll buy, I don't care if they're three times the price that I'm used to paying. I don't even look at the price. There are certain items, and I think everybody's like this, there are certain things you're going to buy no matter what. That you are used to, that you are accustomed to purchasing and consuming, using, whatever. I know my son is a very skilled person who likes to work in his wood shop and build his own desks and furniture and that kind of thing. I don't know where he gets any of that. I can't construct a first grade popsicle structure. But the bottom line is, continuing all through the Biden administration, the third Obama administration in reality, he continued to go to Home Depot or Lowe's and buy lumber. He complained about the whole time how expensive it was, but he didn't stop. This is what he does in his leisure time. It's just like me with my staple products, original V8 juice, Diet Mountain Dew. I don't care if the price skyrockets. These are things that I have to have. Rolled gold, tiny twist pretzels. These are Kip Kiefer essential items for survival. I'm going to pay the price, and I think most American consumers are that way. So these companies are not going to reduce the prices once that threshold's established. That's what I'm trying to say. So affordability is an interesting question here. Now, on the other hand, gasoline prices dramatically down. And when gasoline and energy prices are down, then there's going to be some natural adjustments where pricing is going to be somewhat reduced, not radically reduced, because once again, you're paying it. They're going to keep playing it. But if the cost of manufacturing goods and the cost of transporting those goods to the marketplace is not as high, then those prices have the ability to come down. And you know what absolutely affects that at the end of the day? It's one major factor. Free enterprise, free market, competition. A company, and there will be more and more popping up now, you're going to see a huge revitalization of American manufacturing in this next year. Trump has secured literally trillions of dollars of companies coming back here to avoid his tariffs and build products in the country. It's going to create tons of jobs. It's going to create prosperity, but it's also going to create something more important: competition. Competition is the key. That's when you'll see prices be reduced. When some company goes, you know, we can make a hell of a profit here if we make something comparable to Diet Mountain Dew that's just as good, but we could charge a lot less price for it, because in this economy, we can still make a killing and not have it be at the price level that was raised during the pseudo Biden administration. So competition, free enterprise, free market, that's the only thing that brings prices down to a better level. And you're going to see that going forward. So this knee-jerk reaction that affordability is still an issue is really something that everybody needs to stop and think about. I don't like paying high prices. I don't like going to the grocery store and getting my standard group of items that I buy. And it's $80 when I know just a few years ago it was $50. I don't like paying 25 or 30 extra bucks, but I do it because this is what my consumer habits are, and I'm sure all of you are guilty of the same thing, unless you're fanatics like some of my friends that will go to some ridiculous, and I won't mention the name of the chain. Everybody, I'm sure, will know who I'm talking about, but there's one group of stores all around the country where they have the most bizarre variety of items from all over the world, all kinds of weird products, no name brands. And, you know, I've got a friend of mine in Atlanta where he'll go shop there because he goes, you know, this is like 25 bucks less than if I go to a regular store. You know, I'm not going to go and take and buy a bunch of products from some bizarre retailer that they gather around from all the world that I don't know and not used to. I'm a name brand guy. I'm an American. I don't want to buy foreign products. I don't care if I save 15 or 20 bucks. It's not life-changing money, but I know some people really stress that. That's the same people that will drive 15 miles out of their way because gas is 5 or 6 cents cheaper at the exit out of town than buying it in city. Of course, the time that you invest and the extra gas you burn to go buy and save that 5 or 6 cents a gallon is counterproductive. It's just a mental thing that, yo, that's great. This was great. I only had to pay $2.70 for a gallon of gas here. It was $2.75 if I'd have bought it close to my house. It doesn't make any sense, but that's just how people are. So, and my final word on affordability is analysts have just identified this previous Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, the biggest shopping day of the year. And today, as I come to you on this edition of Need to Know, it is Cyber Monday. So this is the day that supposedly online prices are just at all times slashed lows. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe there's some great deals. I know in these crazy things where retail stores open up at midnight on Thanksgiving into Friday, supposedly there's people dashing into the store and grabbing up the 200 or 300 items that are slashed to like half price, whether they be TVs or whatever. But, I mean, just look at the TV now. You can buy a 75 or 80-inch TV that a few years ago was $2,500, $3,000. I see them now out there for $300, $400, $500. I mean, it's not like all the prices are skyrocketing. Things do, and that once again, that's competition. That's why we live in the greatest place in the world. Free enterprise, free markets, and it's consumer-based. If you just wait it out, you can find great deals out there because when businesses compete, all of us win, and that is exactly what the cornerstone of the American system is and why it's better than any place else you can be in the world. So keep all that in mind when you complain about prices. That is it really, really that way? It's this Black Friday and this Cyber Monday are forecast to be the biggest by far ever. So that being said, does that really mean we've got this affordability crisis in this country? I think it's a myth. I think it's a political talking point. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't buy the rotten banana. Don't listen to these people who are just trying to coerce you into a crisis that doesn't exist, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to manipulate you. They're trying to get you to go talk to your friends and your family about how outrageous prices is, and how that this administration's doing nothing, that Trump ran for president promising to bring prices down. He is bringing prices down in a lot of tangible areas, and just wait to see what's going to happen next. And again, this is not a cheerleading session for Donald Trump, but Donald Trump understands economics, and Donald Trump is bringing in trillions of dollars of investment to bring American manufacturing jobs back and to dramatically affect pricing by creating intense competition. So I just spent about 50% of my time on the first item. I'll have to go a little faster here, because affordability, though, was one of the most important things I wanted to talk about. Activism is the next thing on my list. Activism, which should have been ahead of affordability. I was talking about what a bad job we're doing on the alphabet, and here I put them in the wrong order. I want to talk about activism because a lot of the problems we're having in this country are based on activist judges, activist teachers, activism overall, where we're stressing the wrong things and we are completely violating your rights, my rights, your safety, my family's safety. The incident just last week on a train in Chicago where some jagaloon went and actually put gasoline into a bottle of some kind, took it on the train, poured it on a complete strange woman that he didn't, a stranger of a woman he didn't know. She was a clerical person or somebody who worked at the Caterpillar headquarters in Chicago, the big tractor company, going home from work. Just a regular American sitting on a train. This guy chose her for some unbeknown reason and poured gasoline on her and lit her on fire on the train. This woman was savvy enough to get up and fight her way to an exit when the train stopped and was able to get some help and treatment. She survived the attack. She's got burns significantly, of course, over so much of her body. This guy literally poured gasoline on her. People on the train did not assist her. They sat there on their hands and watched all this go on. So there's no heroes anymore. A lot of people are afraid to get involved because they're just chicken shit. Pardon my French, but that's exactly what they are. And the other half don't want to get involved because, just like the Good Samaritan on the train, Daniel Penny, 2 years ago in New York, completely neutralized a guy threatening to kill people on a subway, and he applied a chokehold because he had military training and ended up killing the guy who was threatening the lives of other passengers. He was arrested and charged for murder. So it's pretty clear why people don't want to get involved. It's either by being cowards themselves or being afraid, literally and justifiably so, of being accused of some kind of crime if they intervene. So anyway, the bottom line is, here's the rest of that story. This guy had been arrested in the previous 9 years, get ready for it, 71 times. This guy has been hauled in for various crimes, violent and otherwise, robberies, assaults. I don't have the list in front of me. But he'd been arrested 71 times in 9 years and convicted in court 14 times of various offenses. And yet this guy is walking the streets because some DEI activist judge said, well, if you just check in here regularly and wear this ankle bracelet, we're going to release you and keep you from being incarcerated. So this guy basically had to be monitored. But the dirty little secret is nobody's watching these monitors. This is just an excuse by these activist judges that, you know, the real victims of crimes are the people perpetrating the crimes, not the actual victims, because these people have been dealt a bad card and they've got mental irregularities or they've got some kind of excuse where they are terrorizing society. A guy arrested 71 times in 9 years, convicted of 14 different crimes, released by an activist judge, is just an abomination. It is outrageous. It is ridiculous. It cannot be tolerated. There's got to be some kind of judicial review process in this country where we can get these lunatics masquerading as judges off the bench. Any kind of judge that has some kind of lifetime appointment or is just bulletproof from being removed in cases where continuously people that they let back on the streets commit crimes, including capital crimes like murder and assault and robberies, transgressions. These judges that are responsible for this and pile up a record of this kind of activist behavior, we need to have some kind of mechanism to get them the hell off the bench. There's got to be some kind of review, I don't know, every 3 years, every 5 years, where people look at what they've done, look at their cases, look at the implications of what their decisions have meant, and do something about these judges that have to be removed. If you're some kind of idealist and you have weaseled your way into a judge's post and you don't base decisions on common sense and law and order, you have to go. You cannot be an activist judge sitting in a courtroom making decisions on what feels right or what is sympathetic or is compassionate. It's not compassion to let a guy back on the street who is a career criminal, clearly mentally irregular, and somebody who is capable of just randomly pouring gasoline on somebody he doesn't know and lighting her on fire on a commuter train. It is absolutely unacceptable, ridiculous. It can't go on. It needs to be changed. The next one on my list is Afghanistan. And Afghanistan, of course, we had the horrendous day before Thanksgiving, last Wednesday in Washington, two National Guard soldiers who are only there to be keeping order in Washington, not really being involved in day-to-day law enforcement, just presence for security, almost like you have, you know, rent-a-cops at private businesses that are just there to create the illusion of security. These are National Guard. Okay, think about what those two words mean. National Guard. And these are people that are enlisted in part-time or, you know, limited military situations. They're being compensated. They are, there to be called up in case of emergencies. And in Washington, D.C., in Chicago, in New York, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, there are emergency situations where crime has become so rampant, and now Portland, Oregon, of all places, crime has become so rampant that cities need help. Traditional law enforcement, because of budget cuts, do not have the manpower they used to have. And even if they did, things are so bad in some of these cities, particularly Washington, Baltimore, and Chicago are the biggest offenders right now, New York right in there too, that the presence of National Guard troops on the street gives you an extra layer of protection. And that's what, I mean, think about what these soldiers are called. The National Guard. just by definition. That's what they're doing. They're standing guard on the streets to let criminals know that you're not in control of these streets. Our National Guard is on hand to be providing protection and presence for regular consumers. The murder rate in Washington in the 4 or 5 months that the National Guard has been deployed is down 65%. There are people walking around alive now who would be shot, stabbed, strangled, dead if not for the presence of these soldiers. And even the ultra-liberal mayor of Washington, D.C., Mayor Bowser, who was completely against this idea, has come around. She's an extreme left Democrat, and she says, wow, I was completely wrong. The presence of the National Guard has made this city so much safer and so much better place. So last Wednesday, the abomination of an Afghani national who should not be in this country, whose stay here had expired in September. He was supposed to be sent back to Afghanistan, which I understand is a very volatile situation since we just abandoned it under the pseudo administration and left $8 billion worth of military equipment and left the Taliban in charge, who took over the government in just like a day as the Americans were bailing out. But then we just magnanimously started sending stealthily planes over there to take back all of these Afghani nationals who wanted out of there, including this 29-year-old perpetrator last week who just randomly walked up on these two National Guard soldiers in front of a train station in Washington and shot them both. And as they were both down, shot them an additional time right in the head. It killed the 20-year-old young lady from West Virginia from the West Virginia National Guard, who, this was a big adventure. She grew up in West Virginia at 18 years old. The day she got out of high school, she signed up to be a National Guard soldier. She got deployed to Washington in correspondence with her family that's been released over the last few months. She has said how she's loving the experience of being there. She's visiting on her off time museums and memorials and loves being in the nation's capital. She was literally serving her country and other citizens in the National Guard. And the price for that is to be shot in the head by some extremists yelling Allah Akbar. Supposedly he was a cooperative person in the Afghan situation who was working covertly with the CIA on operations, which is how he earned his pass for a couple of years to come to the United States. But his time was up. He was supposed to leave. So who knows what this guy's motivation was to just walk up and execute two young people who were devoting their time to military service on the National Guard and doing a great job in Washington. The young lady, of course, passed away. The young man is fighting for his life in a Washington hospital and probably will not ever regain full function, having been shot in the head, even if he does survive. This is a horrible story. It's sickening. It's abominable. And it absolutely just makes my skin crawl to think about this situation. You've got the State Department of this country over this entire century, basically, all the way back to the early parts of the century when Bill Clinton was at the controls, that the State Department has covertly brought in all of these people by plane. These are not people coming across the border during the wide open pseudo administration, inviting them in, providing them the promise of free stuff, free place to live, free food, education for your children, employment opportunity if you want it, but you don't have to work. You know, we're still going to take care of you. No, that's not what this is. This is not the invasion of our country during the previous 4 years. This is the State Department methodically recruiting people, having lotteries in hostile countries for citizens to come to the United States. They imported hundreds of thousands of Somalis that now live in Minnesota. They relocated these people and intentionally put them all together in these tribal, compound setups, because they wanted to create voting blocks of these radical Muslims that are going to be a force in politics. They've already, of course, commandeered an entire area of the state of Minnesota and have elected a couple of really left-wing radical Congress people. And that was the plan. It was to bring in all of these new people. And the dirty little secret, which we've been telling you about on this show the last couple of weeks, is to secretly get them Social Security numbers, which is highly illegal. A non-citizen cannot have a Social Security number, but once they get those to them, they can get driver's licenses, they can register to vote. These people, a lot of them got a fast path to citizenship, but a lot of them don't even have citizenship, but still now have the full rights of citizenship. And it's come to light in the last couple of weeks that the Somali contingent in Minnesota is running one of the great scam operations we've seen in this country in a number of years, because liberal Minnesota created all these funds during the COVID years to supposedly feed families and to treat sick people, and a program that really is ridiculous, to aid children and families suffering from autism. Autism is one of the most interesting dynamics in recent years in the country, because autism is blamed for all kinds of different maladies. If a child's behavior is just a little bit different, or they have some different ideas, all of a sudden the pharmaceutical companies make a huge score because we're pumping them full of all kinds of drugs. Oh, this child's autistic. We've got health officials saying, well, this is probably traced back to this or that, or this chemical in this food, or this additive. Basically, autism has become the catchphrase, the place to assign all blame for any child who's a little bit different. And not to suggest, because I don't want anybody accusing me of not being sympathetic, autism is real, actual autism. But autism now is being chalked up as just like this generic category of anything that any child suffering from any kind of condition is getting written off to. Anyway, between autism and supposedly feeding people that are in desperate need, and also providing another fund to weather the storm of COVID, Minnesota created this giant fund of assistance money. And basically, the Somali population there has been milking these funds all the way now up into 2025, 4 full years after the COVID crisis has gone away. These funds continue through federal monies and state money in Minnesota, continue to be piling up big assets. And there are now clear evidence that this Somali contingent in Minnesota has been profiting to the tune of tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars, as they continue to draw money out. Somebody used a great analogy. It's like the continual filling of the cookie jar and the continuing emptying of it by this one group of people. It's one of the great scams of all time that they are inventing individuals to access these funds. So these are really crime syndicates that we've set up on purpose in the country. And it's really sad, because another one of my words in the A category is assimilation. It used to be that people came to this country wanting to become Americans, not to come and be a Somali or a Mexican or a Guatemalan or a Palestinian carrying around flags from their country, rioting, raising hell, protesting with destructive intent, throwing bricks. This weekend in a protest in New York, groups of people in these protest situations parading around with their own flags, throwing planters, the big giant concrete things that flowers outside of buildings are in, at ICE officers, at police officers, assaulting law officers. We never tolerated the assault of law officers in this country before. It should be instantly a offense that anybody in this country from one of these foreign countries, particularly ones that are here illegally, that is automatic ejection. It's just like in a ball game. If you throw a punch or you commit a targeting foul, you are out of the game. And that's what we need to get to here. But no, some activist judge will say, well, it wasn't their fault. This is an emotional issue. This is the fault of people making the laws here. And the current, it's the Trump administration that's driving these people. It's all the bad rhetoric. But that does not justify bad behavior. It should be instant ejection. Don't pass go. Don't go to jail, don't have due process, don't go before an activist judge. You get shackled and you get taken right to the airfield, put on a transport plane, and ejected from the United States of America. That's the action that needs to start taking place. And if there's some exceptions or some people that fall through the cracks, so be it. But we've got to get this country cleaned up. It's out of control. It's activism, and it's not organic. It's not happening by accident. It's all by design. Once again, power, control, and ultimately, people with power and control have the hands on the purse strings, hands on the money, hands on the asset. That's what it's all about, and that's what we need to wake up, smell the coffee, and avoid. I had a whole bunch more on my list, but I could ramble on for hours, and I don't think the proprietors of the network will be very happy with me. So I'm going to sign off now. We'll continue with the alphabet. That got through most of the A's. Remember, it is affordability. It's Afghanistan. It is adaptability. It is activism. And it's all of those things that right now we all need to become focused on so we can take our country back and keep these people that are trying to take it from us. And believe me, heed my words here. If you are dissatisfied with America in its current state, then just keep your head in the sand. Don't get involved. Don't be courageous and step up. When it's time for you, your moment, and all of us will have that moment, when some blowhard's telling you that everything's terrible and you're just nodding your head because you don't want to be confrontational, well, get over it, because you need to stand up for your country, for your family, for your God, because these people coming in our country now will never assimilate. Particularly people from the toxic part of our world, the Middle East, who once again have no tolerance for your ideas, your religion, your belief in your country, for free enterprise, for freedom of religion, for freedom of speech. They believe that if you don't believe as they do, you're an infidel and don't even deserve to live. Keep that in mind as you process what we're going through in this country right now and how we need to take this country back and get these people the hell out of here. I sound like an ugly American, guilty as charged. I want my country back, and I'm not going to be tolerant of anybody coming in here and starting to throw their weight around and act like they have some kind of right to tell us how to run our country. They don't belong here, and I don't think they should any longer be welcomed here, because we know what we're doing. We created the greatest country in the world, and to keep it, we better all step up and do our part to make sure that the United States of America will continue to be what it was intended to be, the greatest country ever conceived. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's Need to Know for this week. We'll have more next week. Thank you all for tuning in. It's December, the holiday season. Let's kick it in and live it to the fullest. I'll talk to you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.